It really is essentially about two brothers that travel to their family farm to spend the day rehearsing the potential murder of their stepfather, who they are convinced is going to rob them of their inheritance once their mother dies of cancer. And so the film is about how that plays out. And so it's got a procedural side to it, but it's also, the film is really about validation, the way that we seek validation within family. And sometimes the hierarchy of family can get in the way of that. And in this case, Terry, Shane's character, has a brother that has been very much manipulating and misusing that position as the eldest. And poor old Terry has been caught in a family where almost every character that is in this family has not really been validated in a way that they would probably like to be. And we find them at a point of transition. Almost every character is going through some point of transition, and it all comes to a head.
When writer Jamie Brown gave you the script and, you know, he thought, perhaps you and Shane might be right for this,
yeah,
for this very twisted film.
Yeah.
How did you react? I mean, you've done some darker stuff like Animal Kingdom, but Shane tends to be known more for comedic,
yeah,
sort of stuff.
Which was why I was attracted to this. Shane and I have talked a lot about trying to find another film to do together. And we used to make jokes about how we thought it'd be fun if we played bikies. You know, wouldn't it be great if we could find a script where we could both play bikies? And yeah, you know, we're both boys from a working class background. You know, we're not shy of all that kind of world. We've been around it. So when this script lobbed, I actually thought, well, this would be great to do some dark. And I know Shane's got the chops to really bring it on. But it was very, very black when I first read. It was actually much blacker than it is now. So we tailored it to sort of, I knew that I needed Shane to be more sympathetic. And so we sort of worked on that. But I was immediately was drawn to it once I read it. I thought, this is the perfect film. And also, it's the film that'll shake up those perceptions of me just as the comedy guy. Because it starts off kind of where you would expect Kenny to have left off, but then it goes into this whole other world. And I think in a weird sort of way, the pendulum actually swings from one side to the other in this one movie. And maybe it'll make all those other scripts I've got sitting on my shelf relevant again.
We've mentioned already, like, there are very dark themes in this film compared to Kenny, and yet at times it is very funny. How do you go about getting the balance of intense drama and then with some black comedy? How do you go about getting that right?
It's really interesting for me because I've never questioned it, but I have had this question a lot. So it's clearly something that people find foreign to them. I just find an inherent humour in the darkest things. Look, it's interesting. Someone asked me this last night at one of our screenings, and I told them the story that I heard on the way to the edit session when we were making this film. It was a story about a father that was on the news, and they said a father had convinced his son to burn their family business to the ground. It was a pizza shop, but the son had screwed it up so badly he burnt his thumb off. Now, you laughed, right? They all laughed last night when I said that, and I said, that's where I live. I live at that moment. That moment that you all laughed at, I see things that way. And what happened, of course, is the fire brigade turned up, found the thumb, gave it to the police. They thumbprinted it, found the kid. He gave up his father in a heartbeat. Now, what I do know is that was possibly horrific for the father and for the son. But for the onlooker, it's absurd. And it also kind of feeds into an understanding of family. We either have had those experiences of family dysfunction or being forced to do things that you don't want to do because of family issues, or we know someone that's gone through that. So it's funny, I just naturally lean towards that stuff. So I didn't find the balance of that too hard. Where I did find the balance was, at what point do we go from the procedural into the actual in the film, and how does that transpire? And, you know, I wanted the film to feel like two halves. I wanted the film to feel kind of like a play in the beginning and like a Greek tragedy at the end. And then I wanted the film to go from, for you to be embedded in the mindset and the fantasy of criminals, where they believe wholeheartedly that their universe is going to conspire to help them, versus the reality when they actually try to action anything. And I think prisons are riddled with criminals that really honestly thought that the world was just going to, all everything was just going to click into place and they'd all be sitting on a yacht somewhere. But none of them took into account that there was going to be a rabid dog parked out the front of the place, and it changed everything.
Now, you mentioned family dysfunction a bit earlier in that answer. Now, this is a film about two brothers plotting quite a horrific crime, and it explores the many unresolved issues and rivalries between the two brothers. Now, you made this with your brother.
Yeah.
Did that make it easier or more difficult to expose some of those sort of enmities on the screen?
If we had made this film straight after Kenny, it would have been difficult because I am Shane's older brother and I have gone through a phase of, like any eldest, being protective of Shane. And as soon as he became a star, that protection mechanism sort of kicked into high gear. And I was offering advice left, right and centre. You know, I had directed Kenny and produced and edited and marketed the film. And then, of course, Shane went out and I had sort of come up with the whole idea of Shane going out there as Kenny, the character. And then once he became a star, there was this sort of natural progression for me to continue directing him. And rightly so, he pulled me aside and said, "Hey, I'm a man, you know, I'm 35 years of age. Stop it," you know. And it was a really beautiful, it wasn't beautiful initially, it's always hard to hear that stuff, but he was right, he was absolutely right. And it took a few years, but we got to a point where we could, you know, we could actually shed that whole big brother, little brother thing and become kind of friends and mates and collaborators. So to answer your question, when we did this film, I reminded him of all of that. I said, make sure we go to those dark places and, you know, let's give each other permission to express, go back and think about how you felt, the anger you must have felt when I was really being quite overzealous with my advice. Let's exaggerate it. Let's bring it out and let's air it.
Given that Shane does have a higher public profile than you do, there's no more of those sort of jealousies or rivalries anymore that you might have sort of brought out in the making of this film?
Well, the thing is, I haven't been jealous of Shane, and there hasn't been any rivalry. The thing is, what Shane does, I can't do, and he does that very, very well. And also, I'm most comfortable behind the camera, and he, I think he's most comfortable in front of it. And so it's sort of, if anything, it's always been a wonderful advantage for us both. You know, it's a perfect fit. When we come together, we complement each other really, really well. So we don't come from a position of one vying for. Having said that, as we've got older, we start to look a little more like each other. And what's been happening of late is people have been mistaking us for each other. And we actually have been asked to audition for the same roles. So we are getting to that point now where we're going for the same films together. So I don't know, ask me again in a year's time.